News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 16th of December, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linson.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe.
How we're going to be bringing you news, get stuff so you can tangled use all the time.
Well, it's what wires do. It's their place in the
you
known universe.
You saw who was here before us, Steve.
Don't even pretend to be going there.
Did Doug get his glasses that he left last week?
I hope so. Doug the plumber left his glasses last week, and it's certainly very possible that the poor guy has nothing. Had nothing all week long. All right. I hope you're all warm and cozy indoors. Those of you who are outside doing errands or whatever, what are you thinking?
Really?
All right. I want you to notice that I've changed the front page of the Soundbites website. When you come anytime between 11 and 1, you can pick a username, and it now is a random number, and you can log in. That seems to be randomly limited for some reason. It lets some people in and others not. So if you have your own IRC client, you can join us on FNET at @soundbites. So I should put that in there too. But we're all in there. Francis is there. Francis with a Y is there. We really should have the Francis bot should like every half hour put up a disclaimer that says the opinions expressed are
right,
not
Francis
those of any right-thinking human being. Right. Yes, Nick does get ops in here. Thank you very much. And I deserve them. All right. So join us in the Soundbites chat room, which will be open throughout the length of the show. Our first news item of the day, Apple has updated Java for Mac OS 10.4. That's just annoying. OS 10.4. Shouldn't it be just OS 10.4?
I always write it OS X point 4.
Yes. The first time I called it OS X, Steve actually took out an axe and chased me around the studio.
Well, it goes back to the evolution that OS 10 had no relation to OS 9. It was a completely different operating system, so they used Roman numeral 10. But then its version, 10.4, the current version is 10.4.11 for all of you numerologists.
I don't care.
Going
I, just, I simply don't care. Also known as Tiger, if you prefer that, to patch 18 different vulnerabilities, including some fixed as long ago as May, by Java's maker Sun Microsystems, Inc. Apple's newest operating system, dubbed Leopard, I'm not even going to bother with the number. Is that OS 11 or is that just OS
10.5. They put so much marketing into OS 10 that I don't think they're going to go to 11 for a very long time.
Well, they're certainly no Spinal Tap. Leopard does not need to be patched because it includes the Java updated components. According to the accompanying advisory, Tiger's Java 1.4, and J2SC 5.0 contain flaws that in some cases can lead to what Apple calls arbitrary code execution, which means the attackers may be able to insert their own malware during an exploit and or gain complete control of the machine. Apple doesn't rank or rate its security updates to give any users any idea of the severity of the bugs. There were 18 separate vulnerabilities, including some that were discovered as early as the beginning of the year, January of 2007. So you've been running pretty much unprotected for 11 months.
Well, that's just the daylight savings time update from January.
No, not actually. These are exploitable flaws.
Trying to find the list of them.
It doesn't matter. The point is you should make sure your machine is cleaned, however you want to do that. It's an 80 megabyte update, dubbed Java for Mac OS 10.4 release 6. It's not marked as a security update, nor are any of the vulnerabilities or the patches mentioned in the description that appears when users receive notice of OS 10 by OS 10's software update tool. The phrase Apple used said only that release 6 improved, and I quote, reliability and compatibility for Java. But I would be very careful. Make sure your machine is clean and make sure you run that update even if it doesn't look like it's anything exciting.
And keep the firewall on.
And keep your firewalls on, and I know there aren't a lot of antivirus programs for the Mac, but you should be running one. The days when you could be smug about your operating system are long, long past.
One of the issues...
That's true of all of them. Linux, the Mac, and certainly Windows, all of them.
One of the issues with this Java Update Release 6 is that you do need to be running System 10.4.10 in order for this update to show in your update list. So make sure you load the 10.4.10 update that came out a few months ago.
Right. Otherwise, you're vulnerable and you can't fix it. All right. We're off to the phones. Our first caller is Walter from Greece.
Hello there, gentlemen.
Hiya, Walter.
I'm glad you can make it in with this snowfall.
Yeah, in was easy. Out, I think, is going to be a little harder.
At least we leave a heated garage.
Yeah, for now.
All right.
Well, it's not heated, but it is at least enclosed.
Yeah, well,
it's underground, so it's warmer than it is out there, yes.
Got that right.
What's your question, Walter?
Okay, we are running Ubuntu Linux, the long-term program, mm-hmm. operating system. We want to burn a multi-volume, multi-session CD-ROM, which is that, you know, that you have that, it's like we can store the data in separate volumes, each which can be accessed one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we've tried several applications. Right now we have Graveman and eRoaster on. We got that from Synaptic.
Right.
We tried other ones like XCD Roast, but it would not accept our burner because it's not a SCSI. It said it would do some other magical stuff. So when we're looking through these, we can't seem to find anything that would allow us to do a multi-volume. It seems it will do an incremental. You know, we have to download what we have on the CD-ROM. It'll then mix in our new data, burn that new stuff, but make the old area inaccessible, unreadable. Well,
with CDs, it's called multi-session, so that may be the term you're looking for.
Well,
when you burn your first session, you have to leave the session. Leave the disk open so you can add additional sessions later. You have to close the session, but leave the disk open.
Right. We see all that, but everything we seem to be finding about Graveman and eRoaster and other ones seem to say that you now have to import what you already put on the disk to make a brand new file that you can burn on.
And right. Yeah, you do, to make a new file. If you want to burn a second session, you just make a second session.
So it's possible to do that under these programs because nothing is clear about that. I can't find anything.
CDX Roast will do it. We have to take a break, but I'm going to give this URL to Steve during the break, and he will put up a list to the tutorial on burning a multi-session CD. It's just shy of halfway down the page, so check that out. Search for multi-session. It's the second hit. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Wright, Chris Wright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 15 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Yeehaw! Welcome back, everybody.
At least it's not Alvin and the Chipmunk.
I saw that movie yesterday.
We have to go see it this afternoon.
My
son has
been demanding
it all week.
What? Wait.
Alvin and the Chipmunks. There is a new Alvin and the Chipmunks movie out.
Yes. Live action with animated chipmunks.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be brilliant.
Listen, the movie theater. Okay.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton. Don't diss the chipmunks.
I'm not dissing the chipmunks.
It was a good movie.
I don't doubt it was a great movie. A cinematic
masterpiece.
Tour de force.
Who did you see it with, Rob?
we were the oldest ones there. Let me put it to you that way.
And just
by 20 years, yeah. And you're only 11 yourself at this point.
Justin Long stars as Alvin. And for those of you that may not know, he plays Mac in the I'm a Mac PC commercials. So he's been promoted from Mac to Alvin.
Great. There's a career path for you.
Well, he was Bruce Willis's sidekick in the last Die Hard movie,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
All right, while the RIAA continues to sue people for peer-to-peer file sharing, the record labels have made an about-face and given their blessings to users who share MP3s via the social networking site imeme.com, imeem.com. In May this year, the site was being sued by Warner for allowing users to upload photos, videos, and music to share. However, to everyone's amazement, Instead of being flattened, iMeme.com managed to convince the label that this free promotion was a good thing. In July, iMeme.com signed a deal with the label. Since then, the site has added Sony, BMG, EMI, and now the biggest fish of them all, Universal. iMeme now has the royal flush of record labels supporting its media sharing service, each getting a cut of the advertising revenues generated by their catalog. Finally, someone has figured out a way to do YouTube for MP3s without getting sued out of existence. So if you want,
because they're paying them. That's been the whole point all along. They don't want YouTube to do it unless YouTube pays
them. They're sharing
the
revenue, which is of course a form of payment, but it's not like they're just paying out of pocket X number of dollars an hour.
Right.
They're saying whatever we take in, you get a piece.
And if it's a typical record company deal, they're getting 90%?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But if you now, apparently, if you want to steal music legally, iMeme.com is the place to do it. How cool is that?
Did you say steal music legally?
Right. As we all know, anytime you go on a P2P file sharing site, according to the RIAA, you're stealing music. That's their definition. You're on a P2P site, you're stealing. So now if you want to steal legally, you do it at iMeme.
Steal without repudiation.
Right. Steal without repudiation, I guess. Right. Yeah. So far, at least, we don't know. Our next caller is Karen from Greece, New York. Welcome, Karen. What's your question?
Oh, okay. I'm Karen, but I'm not from Greece.
Where are you from?
Theresa.
Where?
Theresa.
Theresa, New York. Would you spell that?
T-H-E-R-E-S-A.
Where is that near?
That's north of Watertown.
Yeah, Theresa, New York. Cool. Yes. I didn't realize it was Theresa. I thought it was Theresa. My fault.
They actually pronounce it Theresa. I don't know why.
See? Oh, I learned something new today. It's a good day.
It's like the Leroy and Leroy and Chi-Lai and Chili. And
nobody pronounces it Chili. Not if they've been here for more than 11 minutes. All right, Karen, what's your question?
Well, I have an absolute mess with my computer. It does all kinds of crazy things. But the newest one is an error message that says generic host Win32 has encountered a problem and must shut down. When I get that, I have to restart the computer because absolutely nothing will work.
Right.
And I don't know what that is.
Hmm. Generic host, of course. Yeah. Unfortunately, Windows has so many things called host and generic host and service host that it's impossible to know which one is causing the problem.
The Adware and the SpyBot?
Adware, unfortunately, where I live, I can only get dial-up. Adware takes too long to download.
All right, then what I would suggest you do, since you are on dial-up up there, if you're going to go for one program, do a Google search for Super Anti-Spyware. You look for that one program, download the free home version, install that, and run that program. I have found that to be very effective on a lot of the new stuff coming out, and it works just about as good. I won't say it's perfect, but it works very good going and getting all the stuff that both Adware and SpyBot get.
Okay, well, I have everything that's in the
Tango
except Adware.
Well, try this Super Anti-Spyware program.
Okay.
Go for that one and try running that. You'll be amazed at some of the stuff that it finds.
You still doing your CD, Dave?
Yeah.
That's something else you could do. You could email Dave, and he can mail you a CD of all the latest versions, too.
And one of the things I was almost thinking of doing for folks for the holidays was taking the CD and for $20, put all the soundbite stuff on a jump drive.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
That way they could have not only all the utilities,
but also have a
jump drive, a 1 gig jump drive for $20.
That's not a bad deal. I'll take one.
Okay.
That's, I think, your best bet at this point. Do that. There are problems with generic host Win32 under Service Pack 2.
Yeah. Until I installed Service Pack 2, I didn't have any problem.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of it. It's
Service Pack 3 is coming.
Service Pack 3 is coming. There's a way to fix it. Try this. Go to the run command and type CMD. And hit enter. Type NETSH and hit enter. Type WinSock, WINSOCK. Press enter. Type reset. Press enter. and then restart your PC.
Okay, and where am I starting this?
From the run command under the start button.
Oh, okay.
Start run, type CMD, hit enter. Type NetSH, hit enter. Type WinSock, hit enter. Type reset, hit enter. Restart your PC. Okay. I'm not going to promise, but that does solve some problems for some people.
Well, considering the amount of problems that I have with it.
There's also, by the way, and again, you're on dial-up, so this may be painful.
Yeah.
But there is a Windows, their Microsoft update patch for this. And I will have Steve put that on the website on under our links at the next break.
Okay.
And that might help if you can get it installed before you get the generic process error.
But it only comes up once in a while. It makes no sense whatsoever when it comes up.
Right, right. Well, that's my point. I mean, as long as the thing will run long enough for you to download this patch and install it, you should be good.
All right.
But I'll have him put that up as soon as we hit the break, and I can spell it out to him, and then we'll get it done.
Well, I will give them all a try.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Start with the patch. Theoretically, that's the whole point of the patch. So, Karen? Oh, she's gone. Okay. I wanted to ask her how she was doing up there in the snow north of Watertown. Angelo from Rochester is our next caller. Welcome, Angelo.
Hi, guys. My question is kind of related to the last problem. I got spyware that I just can't shake. I've danced the tango several times. I've tried every spy remover that I can think of or download. And even using Firefox, I get redirected to different websites, and I just can't seem to shake it.
Well, a redirect is a setting that you have to change. It's caused by spyware to begin with, but removing the spyware won't change your settings. You have to go into your internet options and reset the home and search pages.
Well, it's bringing up a new page. It's not actually redirecting the page. It's bringing up a new window with ads and different things, whatever.
That's normal on the internet. You quite frequently will get pop-up or pop-under
windows.
Does
this happen for every page you go to?
No, if I go to Deal News or something like that, shop, then all of a sudden I get an ad for shopping, or I'll go to an ad for banking.
That's not a virus. That's just the way the internet works. A lot of those sites sell ads to other companies, and they pay more for a pop-up.
There's a pop-under, so it's behind the window. You don't see it until you close your main window.
Even if I click on Firefox on desktop, I'll directly go to another page, and my homepage will be behind that one. And I've tried everything.
What's your homepage?
I use Yahoo.
Yahoo buys ads. Virtually every website buys ads.
Try a different homepage.
MSN.
Set a different homepage. Set Soundbites as your homepage. I don't care what you set.
Okay.
Someplace where you don't get a pop-up.
Okay.
Then set that as your homepage. Close your browser and open it up again and see if you get a pop-up. No. That'll tell you whether the problem is actually something in your machine or coming down from the internet.
And you can also try getting a pop-up blocker like Popzilla, the stop-up killer. The other issue, too, for cleaning spyware is you may need to run the programs in safe mode to get all the spyware cleaned out.
Right. If you dance the tango, you go into safe mode. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 30 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin. Alvin!
Okay!
Dave Bagdasarian. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, Rob, you're too young to remember the Chipmunks.
No, I'm not. I watched it.
That was Ross Bagdasarian.
What did I say?
Dave Bagdasarian.
No, it's Ross Bagdasarian. I actually knew
that. No, I used to watch that show all the time.
It wasn't on all the time. What were you taking as a child?
No, this...
The original.
Yeah, in these days of cables and Nickelodeon and TV Land, it is on all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually true. All right, we talked last week about CompUSA closing, but here's a little more information on it. They're tying up their loose ends. The retailer, CompUSA, which was bought by a private equity firm on December 7th and will shut down, put up a customer help website Friday where it gives details on how warranties, gift cards, and more will be handled. The closing sale will last approximately 8 weeks and all sales will be final. Any extended warranties purchased for products through CompUSA will be honored by a third-party provider, Assurance Solutions. Gift cards, rain checks, and rebates purchased prior to December 12th can be redeemed at any time during the final sale. For those who have a gadget currently in for service with CompUSA, the repair will be completed and said gadget will be returned to the owners.
Now, I looked all over their website and couldn't find that anywhere. Do you have an address for that?
I don't. They said they had a
CompUSA.com is still advertising all the stuff you can buy. There's nothing about them closing, nothing about going out of business sales. Just looks like a regular website.
I didn't write down. It wasn't a plain website, but...
Nah, we'll dig a little more and post the link.
A little more. I didn't write it down. I don't know why I didn't, because I'm on... My drugs had worn off by then. I don't know why I didn't write it down. I apologize. That's my fault entirely. It's just the way it is. It's my fault. Get over it, okay?
Deal with it.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Sue. Welcome, Sue. What's your question?
Okay, I have a question about Microsoft Front Page versus Expression Web, which I just learned is going to kind of take replacement of Front Page.
Sure.
Okay, so what does it mean as far as, you know, I was told that Microsoft won't support Front Page anymore, and they want you to use Expression Web. What does that actually mean?
They won't answer any questions if you call
them. That's it, though, right?
And they won't update the program anymore.
You don't use it anyways. You use Dreamweaver, don't you?
Dave, I know. I use both when I'm doing the
My sister knows better than to call me and ask me about web pages, because I'm usually sending people to her.
Dave knows that I like Macs better than PCs, but we won't go there.
And I still allow her in the family.
That's astonishing for both of you, I think.
Yeah. We talk to each other.
But what do you guys think of Expression Web? Have you seen it? Do you like it? I mean, do you think I should update it to that or get it also as well as Front Page when I'm working with my clients?
Well, the thing about Expression is it's heavily involved in Silverlight. Silverlight is Microsoft's Flash challenger.
Oh, okay.
The problem with that is it's currently about 99% a Microsoft-only product.
Okay.
So if you use it, you lose your Mac people and your Linux people. Now, you may not care. They're only about 10 or 15% of the market these days. That's like turning one out of every 10 people away from your store. Why would you do that?
Millions of people. Yeah.
Right. But that's my point. You know, somebody told me, well, how much is that? I said, even at 10% of the market, it's like every 10th person you bar them from coming into your store to buy something.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Okay. But if somebody new to me comes to me and says, well, I have it on my computer, I already got it going, yada, 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 and I have Expression Web, then obviously I would have to. Can I convert that to like Dreamweaver or Front Page?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it writes standard HTML code.
Okay.
Except for the Silverlight extensions.
Okay.
So really, the web is all HTML to begin with. So it ends up being a text page. But if you ever looked at some of the actual HTML code the Front Page puts out.
Right,
I do.
Crap. It's crap.
I know.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah,
it's pathetic. It's worm food. And so... you will have the
worms
same thing.
Worms gotta eat too.
Worms gotta eat, boy. Worms gotta eat. Fish gotta fry. Okay, Expression Web will do much the same thing, I suspect. But it certainly does work, and it certainly does end up with plain. You know, it's a plain text file. It's right. HTML code.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like Front Page. I rather work with Dreamweaver.
Sure.
But unfortunately, some of my clients have Front Page. And their whole web page was done in Front Page.
Right.
They just want it moved around, tweaked a little bit, you know, and kept the way it was.
Right. Same idea with Microsoft Expression.
Okay.
Now, I find I've been playing a little bit with Contribute from Macromedia, now Adobe, part of the Dreamweaver suite.
Okay.
Contribute is kind of a neat front end for if you just wanted to edit your own website or do simple edits.
Right.
It's kind of like an FTP browser and HTML editor built in where... It browses your website, and then when you want to make a change, it downloads that one page, and you get a WYSIWYG editor to type your changes. You just want to change, you know, text somewhere, and then it re-uploads it again.
And this is with Dreamweaver.
Well, it's the Contribute program.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
They sell it separately, and it comes with the Dreamweaver suites.
Oh, okay.
So, if you just want to do simple edits to a website, it's kind of a neat option.
All right, okay, great.
Now, within 6 months, there will be Moonlight.
All right.
which is a port of Silverlight into Linux, and I believe also for the Mac, although I don't see that listed here.
Well, someday I'll own a nice, beautiful Mac.
Someday you won't be able to go to your brother to get it, but
never.
No, I know I have to see Steve. What can I say? I'm
that's
sorry,
it.
Dave.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm operating on an old Mac that's probably about 17 years old and still kicking.
Wow.
Yeah, her son, though, she hasn't converted him.
No, there you go.
He's still on my side.
That stuff will be there eventually, but it's going to be 6 months.
Okay.
At least before you really see that ubiquitous enough for everybody to really use it.
Okay, I just didn't know. I heard about it yesterday, and I thought, what the heck is this? You know, and
sure.
I'm like, oh, no, not another one.
Yes, it's another one. You know, right now we've got Flash, and we've got the Ajax stuff and JavaScript. And now Silverlight and Moonlight, and it just gets to be too much.
Well, everybody thinks they have a better way to do it, and they may be right.
Yeah.
But it just makes it more confusing.
Right.
I know. Well, thanks.
Fourth, yeah.
Happy holidays.
What happened to first,
and
second,
you
and
too,
third?
Sue.
There you go. It's the same point.
And that's why I called it that, by the way.
Yeah.
It was his fourth attempt at writing an operating system, and the file system he was using only used 5-character names, so he dropped the U. And that's why it's called Forth. And there you are. Next caller is Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I was trying to move my photos, 400 some of them, from my Mac Tower to my MacBook Pro. And I used a portable pocket drive to do that. I found out later there was an easier way to sync that and do it. Anyway, I did that. And when I hooked up the portable drive to my MacBook Pro, a bunch of gibberish showed up instead of the pictures. Went back to my Mac Tower and found out that there were no pictures in my iPhoto album. And they're lost somewhere in the computer because I had open preferences and dragged the iPhoto over to the portable drive when I plugged it in when I attempted to move them. And in searching around the tower, I found in one of the files, a file says originals. And I clicked on it and opened it. And lo and behold, there were all of my 400 some photos, but I can't get them back into iPhoto.
Well, it sounds like you did two or three problems there.
One, stupid things.
One of the first things is that...
We call them problems to your face.
Issues. One of the first things is that most portable drives you buy are formatted for Windows.
Oh.
In the FAT32 format for Windows, and the Mac says, oh, it's a Windows disk. Okay, I'll use it. But some Mac files don't live very well on a Windows disk, and it limits your file names to Windows-compatible file names. So it may lose a lot of your file names trying to translate it to a Windows name. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that your drive is formatted for Mac in Disk Utility. Secondly, it depends on how you tried to move them. If you did a move and not a copy, there's a bug in early versions of the system where if you try to do a move and the hard drive is unplugged, both the source and the target files are lost. So you should always do a copy, then delete. Maybe we'll catch the rest of it up after the commercial.
All right, maybe we'll have to. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Wright, Chris Wright, Rob Linton, Mina Francesco, and you. 45 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 49 minutes after the hour, before we move on, Steve wanted to finish very quickly.
Yeah, a couple more. In some versions of Tiger, and it seems to be a little worse in Leopard, that if you move files from one drive to an external device like a flash drive or a hard drive, and that external drive loses connection, you can lose both the source files and the target files.
That's not good.
So don't do a move. Always do a copy, then delete, which is pretty much what a move is. It deletes it while it's copying it. So if something goes wrong, it loses it. And then thirdly, the iPhoto library, it depends on how you got the files out of the library. Typically, if you're going to copy photos, you drag them from the iPhoto window to your external hard drive or use the export command inside of iPhoto. If you actually went into the iPhoto folder in the pictures folder on your hard drive, that will confuse iPhoto because now it doesn't see those pictures anymore. And you can use a program called iPhoto Extractor that can try to recover those damaged files or the damaged library out of that folder. And the originals folder you found is a backup method that iPhoto uses. Whenever you edit a photo inside of iPhoto, it automatically creates an original copy so you can restore it to your original.
All right, excellent.
So in general, if you want to copy files to another computer, if they're both running iPhoto, you just launch iPhoto and drag them from one iPhoto window to the other iPhoto window, or you use the export command in the iPhoto program.
All right, kiddies, it's that time again. Go get your asbestos Dr. Denton's on. Grab your mug of hot cocoa. Sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. And if we can slap him awake after we strap him down, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave! Uncle Dave?
You really want to do this, huh?
No, never. I'm never sure I want to do this. No.
I think we got to change the name from Story Hour to Dave's Rants.
Well, yeah, right.
Well, no, this is another good one. And Steve, I'm sure you're going to run into it too. I mean, we're into the holiday season. And what really ports me off.
Users got run over by Dave Enright.
You got it. It's when they come in and, you know, they... You tell them you're going to fix the machine for this or just go get a new, you know, or possibly look at a new or.
Yeah, it's $300 to fix it, $400 to buy a new one.
Yeah. Well, then they'll turn around and say, you know, tell them how much it's going to cost to fix it. They'll tell you, well, I can go out and buy a brand new one for $300-$400. I go, can? Yeah, it'll be a piece of. Mm-mm. And you won't be able to do much with it. But don't sit there and call it, you know, when I'm sitting there and telling you. No problem.
Right, I have to interrupt you for just a moment. Here is Dave going on about what Dave goes on about. And Rob is in. Dave has brought cookies, not the rum balls.
That's next week.
And what are they doing now?
Aging.
What a lovely word when you're talking about rum balls. And Rob is in here getting a chocolate drop cookie. And all of a sudden, Dave starts going, and it'll work like a piece of... And Rob's eyes get real big because he's nowhere near the dump button.
No, folks, it just really ticks me off that you sit there and tell them, well, you can get, you know, I can sell you a machine, and as a lot of folks around here can, at a decent price compared to some of these online things that you can buy. And they're saying, well, I can get it for this. And they're not even close to comparable in parts and components and service.
That's a big thing most people don't realize. As you look at Walmart and some of the other discount stores, yeah, you can buy a computer for $300-$400. It's a low-end computer, not much RAM, not much hard drive, very slow. Sometimes, yeah, no hard drive. It's using flash drives.
Well, I found out that the one major place that's offering right now, because a friend, I told him to go to the website because they got such a great deal. I said, all right, go ahead and do it. And I said, but get Windows XP. This big company was going to ding him over $300 to take Vista off and put XP on.
Nice. Nice work.
Well, they don't want to
buy a full license of XP, which is $200, and then maybe $100 in labor to...
Big company. It's bull. Yeah. They're just trying to shove that product out on folks.
They buy it wholesale, sell it retail. That's
because
they
got a warehouse full of it. And Windows, matter of fact, Microsoft is now touting how they're coming out with Service Pack 3.
And I always make the analogy of buying a car. You can spend $20,000 on a car. You can spend $2,000 on a car. You still get a car, but I don't necessarily think I would take that $2,000 car and use it as my main vehicle to get around.
And the other thing that folks don't realize is they don't look into the other thing. Like, these major places, they're not including the disc. You've got to some way make your own disc if they give you the capabilities. The warranty. Like on my systems, when you buy a new system, I offer a 3-year warranty. That's 1 year on labor, 3 years on parts, as do a lot of the other places around here. These other bigger chains and these specials that they're selling for the $300 and $400 has a 90-day warranty. But do they bother to check into that to see if it, you know, what they're buying? No, they're just getting a good product because they see the bottom line price. And when they bring it into us then, and I'm sure Steve runs into the same thing, you tell them, well, you got to have more memory. Well, why didn't they do that when I first bought it? Because you wanted to buy cheap.
And that's one of the big dangers and fears that we have, going back to an earlier story about CompUSA closing. At least they were a computer store, and you could sort of expect them to know things about computers. When you buy your computer at a discount store or electronics store, they probably don't know anything about it. They're going to sell you a box, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
All righty, kids. It's time for Uncle Dave's medicine, and so we need you to quietly back away. Rinse out your cocoa mugs. Put
rum
your
balls
clothes back on. Next week we'll have rum balls, and we won't care what Uncle Dave says. In the meantime, remember our motto: you get what you pay for, and you pay for what you get. All right. Do we have time for a phone call or 30?
Well, you know, we need to remind people that actually, if they're going to tune into this show at all during the year, it needs to be next week when the rum balls come in.
Yeah.
Because essentially you've got four drunk guys on the radio. Who cares about the FCC? No, I'm just kidding.
No,
it's not really that bad.
Kidding. It's not that bad at
but,
all.
But oh boy, is
but
it
many
amusing.
Many more people will be recording next week's show so that they can
I get asked all year long. It's like, you guys really get smashed up there before Christmas on those rum balls, don't you?
No.
Yeah.
Now, if anybody's ever seen me, they know it's going to take way more rum balls than that to get me drunk.
Normally, it doesn't get me that bad, but I don't know what kind of rum or how much rum he used last year. I went home with a hangover.
Jamaican.
Yeah.
Something.
Antigua.
I drove out of here, and I'm like, I have a hangover from rum balls. Yeah. What's going on with that now?
We just don't allow any open
Imagine
flames.
Telling the cop that when you get pulled over on the way home.
Rob, that's because you're a kid.
It was a rumbo.
I'm a skinny kid.
When you get to our age, you're kind of inoculated against a lot of that.
Be nice.
That's right. All right, I think we have time for one call. Kevin from Brockport, what's your question? Kevin?
I want to buy a computer, and I just caught the end of what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, all they needed for is research, emailing. That's about it, really.
Yeah, a lot of people buy on price, and that's the completely wrong way to buy a computer. You know, you want to look at what you're going to do with it. Getting email is a cheap computer. Playing first-person shooter games is an expensive computer.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it for games.
Even so, how long do you plan to keep this machine?
Considerable amount of time, I
hope. Yeah, that's the other thing. The $300 computer, you're going to buy a new one every year.
Right.
Uh-huh. Can you suggest any makes or...
Well, we have a couple of local vendors, Dave Enright at EnrightPC.com and Steve Ray at JesseGroup.com. Both build and sell machines, so either one of them would be right here on our panel and our lovely people. We are going to take a break. We've got all the things you really listen to Wham for, the news, the sports, and most importantly today, the weather. On the other side of the news, we're going to have a very special guest coming in to talk about a great product. We'll talk about our poll and a couple of other things. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Crazy Chris Reich, who comes in every week and gives us his expertise and his knowledge and his equipment to record our show for the podcast, which, by the way, I haven't heard any arguments or complaints about in a very long time. And, of course, Rob Linton, who's glued one palm to the dump button just in case. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back on the other side of all of that with the greatest computer show in the known universe. 58 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. In just a minute, we're going to get to our interview of the week. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit about what happens at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about flirting with strangers online. 65% of you lied and said no. Only 18% said yes. 11% said, how private is this poll? And 19 of you said, only with Rob, nobody stranger than he. Our poll this week is about an interesting article I just read. There's a new version of Star Office and Open Office coming out. Star Office 8 and OpenOffice.org 2.3 have both been updated. They're actually apparently already out, I guess, with several new features, including the ability to edit for blog servers, along with enhanced charting capabilities and tools to reduce the size of presentations. The new server version of Star Office, meanwhile, now includes the ability to convert documents in bulk into Acrobat PDF file format. OpenOffice.org is a free open source platform designed to be interoperable with every major commercial office suite and compatible with the internationally standardized open document format. It runs natively on Windows, GNU Linux, Sun Solaris, Mac OS X, and several other platforms. It is backed by the OpenOffice.org project and international community of volunteers and sponsors, including Sun. Modules in OpenOffice.org include word processor, spreadsheet, presentation manager, drawing, math, and database manipulation. Roughly 1 million copies of OpenOffice.org are downloaded per week, not including distributions through vendors such as Google. To date, about 110 million copies of the software have been downloaded. StarOffice, meanwhile, is essentially the same product as OpenOffice.org, but with the addition of support and indemnification for enterprise and government users. Version 2.3 was quietly released to users this fall with several enhancements, including the new charting features, the ability to export word processing files directly into sites like Wikipedia. OpenOffice.org has also developed a raft of extensions with additional functionality, and the most popular by far is the Report Builder, which lets you go and access through OpenOffice.org any SQL database out there and build complex reports straight from the database. Also, a new presentation minimizer that goes through a presentation, asks the user questions about what's safe to delete, and thereby reduces the size of the presentation by about 55% on average. The minimizer also works on PowerPoint. So the question this week is, have you tried OpenOffice or SunOffice? And the choices are, love it, love it. Yes, it's okay. Yes, don't like it. Not yet, but I'm interested. No, I love Microsoft. And no, I'm just too lazy. So far, we've had 109 people vote. 35% of you love it. 32% of you think it's okay. And on down from there. So that's on the front page of our website at soundbites.org. Now, I know you people don't like to just click a button. You have opinions. So when you're done clicking that button, take a look at the yellow box underneath. It says, give us your opinion. Click on that link. It'll take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Oh, ho, ho. Where you can actually put in an entire opinion. So do that. Check my website out. I have forums and a newsletter I put out a few times a week. You can search the old newsletters for anything you want. It's only $15 a year. I don't know why you wouldn't do it. And then back to our website at soundbites.org, where you can join in the forums and, of course, buy wonderful Soundbites merchandise. A lovely Christmas gift for the geek in your life. The mug, the mouse pad, the shirts, the thong. It's all there for you to buy and enjoy. And it's Christmas, so now's the time to do it. We have a very special guest today. There's a company called Data Drive-Thru, which has a product called The Tornado, which gets all your stuff from your old PC to your new PC. And we're honored, actually, to have the CEO of Data Drive-Thru, Paul Andrus, with us this morning. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Oh, good, because after that buildup, I hate to think you weren't even on the line.
I'm here.
Welcome. Tell us a little bit about the Tornado.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Yes. Basically, the Tornado is a patented gadget, if you will, that automatically networks two PCs together in about 5 seconds simply by plugging it in. So in other words, you don't have to load software. You don't have to configure anything or worry about drivers. Merely by plugging it into the USB ports of two computers, we have some technology that auto-loads and auto-runs the device, and then a split screen pops up on your screen, and you can see this computer and other computer, and then you can drag and drop anything and everything between two computers on that split screen.
Nice.
I got to admit, I tried it out, and just like your ad says, Paul, it is so easy, a monkey can do it. I got such a kick out of that. But like you said, you plug it in, and bam, it just starts up. And what I really like about it, too, is when you do the split screen, you identify which computer is which.
Yeah.
The bottom screen is this computer, and the top part of the screen is the other computer. So there's no
confusion about where you're going,
yes,
and what you're doing.
Which way you're going. I mean, yeah, a number of them would just open it up, and it's like, okay.
Now, this is for Windows machines, and it is compatible with Vista.
Yes, it is. It actually goes all the way back to 98SC all the way through Vista, and it's bi-directional, so you can move between any of those operating systems of about the last 10 years.
So while we have a number of diehard users who still have Windows 98 machines, if they buy a Vista machine, they can plug the Tornado in between them and move the files over.
That's right. And we're amazed to find out how many people have an old desktop sitting in their closet or under their desk, and they just never quite got everything over. It's a fairly frustrating experience unless you're extremely technically savvy enough to network two computers yourself with a crossover cable. A lot of people just leave their computer and don't know what to do with it. And
Right. We've
got a way that you can not only get everything over, but then you can do something with that, donate it or you know, give it to your kids for college or, you know, put that computer back into use.
Right. And it's as easy as turn it on, boot it up, plug this thing in, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is contained inside the unit. So it fits in your pocket. It's got retractable cables in it. And it's actually a microcomputer. It's a transfer microcomputer. We have memory in there. We have software in there. We have a chipset in there. And so basically, it auto-loads and auto-runs itself without you having to go through any manual steps on your computer to make the thing work.
Right.
Really a no-brainer.
Now, this includes another product that our people talk about all the time, which is PC Eraser.
Right. Right. So here we've invented something that helps you get off that old computer that I mentioned. And then what we've done is we have released a piece of software called PC Eraser. And what it does, it swipes your hard drive to the government Department of Defense standards. And you select what you swipe, though. So that way you can leave your operating system intact or your programs. Then that computer, you know, then you can give it to your kid for college or donate it or recycle it, but you've got your personal information off and to a standard that makes it virtually impossible for an identity thief to recover those personal files.
And that's a big issue, too, right now with the holidays and with folks, you know, turning over computers. I've had a number of folks say, you know, could you wipe this machine and make, because they don't want emails or personal information, banking and everything else, you know, available to somebody else to unerase or whatever.
Well, most people don't realize that when you hit the delete button and clear out your recycle bin, that file, that information is still on the hard drive.
Yeah,
right.
You've only deleted the directory. And the average PC user, which is now the biggest buyer of PCs, they're not aware how exposed they are when they go ahead and sell or donate that computer. You know, ID fraud is a multi-billion-dollar business.
It's scary.
Right.
Yeah.
This is great. So, again, it's the Tornado at thetornado.com.
Right.
Just plug it in to your old PC and your new PC. You can now, this transfers data, not programs, right?
Right. We don't sell it as an application or program mover. However, it will move, you know, a lot of programs that you download from the Internet, your email programs, but we don't sell it as that because a lot of the Microsoft products, for example, have registry issues
Right. Moving
between operating systems, and we do not advertise that you can do that.
How politely put.
I like the video they have on their website from CES. A chimpanzee and an 8-year-old girl beat two computer techs.
Yeah.
The girl wants to hi-fi the chimp, and the chimp wants to hug the girl.
That's a legitimate contest between two certified network engineers and a chimpanzee and an 8-year-old, and they have identical systems, and we basically said, ready, set, go, and the chimp actually networked two computers using this. It's not trick photography. He actually did it. And the 8-year-old transferred the file before the tech guys could even get their CD loaded. It's a great piece of video.
That is cool.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny. So this is a great product. It's only $60. You get PC Eraser free. That's a $30 value.
Yep.
So it's essentially half price. And it's just plug it into the two machines.
It doesn't get any easier than
this. There you go. Move them back and forth, and you're done.
This product won the Best Gadget Award at the International Consumer Electronics Show in 2007.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's great. Winner of Best Gadget there. Yahoo Tech, Last Gadget Standing. Best of Retail Vision Spring 2007. You're just getting accolades all over the place.
Well, and it's
and Dave Enright loves it.
And it's a great product for somebody looking for this extra stocking stuffer because it's a perfect thing to put in a stocking that somebody could literally carry around and use quite
and it's
often.
Small, yeah.
Yeah, and get a lot of use out of it. And especially the IT folks in it that are moving computers around and you don't want to get that information passed on to other folks, it's a great value for the buck. And right now, the holidays, you know, check the site out and get one.
That's it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Multiple uses and unlimited number of computers you can use this thing with.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of use. You know, it's interesting. It was invented for the average consumer to get their stuff off their own computer. But the IT industry has really embraced it because there are a lot of situations where they can move data between PCs that are networked in a corporate network environment faster than they can use their own network administration tools.
I agree with that 100%.
All right. Thank you so much. Our guest has been Paul Andrus, CEO of Data Drive-Thru. His product is the Terrific Tornado at thetornado.com. Steve will have that up on the links. Thank you so much, Paul. We appreciate your coming on and talking about the tornado. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Reich, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, Meenik Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
That's right, boys and girls. Everywhere. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, Steve, did you notice how that just brought the whole show down? I'm Nick Francesco. I'm Dave Enright. Dead silence.
I'm Steve Ray.
All right. We're just going to ride on Steve now because he was looking at some of the alternatives for the Mac and found...
Yeah, the Tornado is Windows to Windows only. On Macintosh, from Mac to Mac, it's built into the computer. You don't have to buy anything extra. There is a program called Move to Mac from a company called Dedo, which is $50, and that will migrate all your files from a PC to a Mac.
Wait a minute. Mac to Mac, you still got to have something to put between the two Macs.
A FireWire cable.
Well, that's what you got to tell them. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Some folks don't know
it's built
that.
In with a FireWire cable or a USB cable. Or no, it's FireWire target mode. They got to add USB target mode eventually.
Right.
But all Macs have FireWire. So
and Linux,
into
as long as the two machines are on the net, you're going to SCP stuff back and forth, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
All right. We very quickly, before we get back to the phones, let's talk a little bit about one news item, and then we will get to the phones. When many think of rechargeable batteries, the first thing that springs to mind when making a wish list is a longer life for the battery, but that is only part of the issue with rechargeable batteries. Another big part of the picture when it comes to rechargeable batteries is how long it takes to charge that battery. Toshiba announced on Tuesday that it has developed a new type of rechargeable battery dubbed the Supercharge Ion Battery, SCIB, which will probably be called SCIB. Toshiba claims the new battery will mainly target the industrial market, though representatives hint the technology may eventually find a home in electric vehicles. The main claim to fame for the SCIB battery is that it can recharge to 90% of total capacity in fewer than 5 minutes. Toshiba also claims the battery has a lifespan of over 10 years. Toshiba says it adopted a new negative electrode material, new separators, new electrolyte, and a new manufacturing technology to bring the SCIB to life. The SCIB batteries can recharge with as much as 50 amperes of current and with capacity loss after 3,000 cycles of less than 10%. Toshiba also says the battery has excellent safety, with the new negative electrode material having a high level of thermal stability, which is a nice change for batteries, and a high flash point. The battery is also said to be structurally resistant to internal short-circuiting and thermal runaway. You will, of course, remember Toshiba's massive battery recalls in notebook computers from earlier this year. They're not as widespread as Sony's battery woes. Toshiba wants to put these fears of using its products out of the minds of buyers. If the battery technology makes it into notebook computers and other consumer electronics, it could revolutionize mobility. The first of these batteries will be ready for industrial uses in March of 2008. I can't wait to see them in cars. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ginny, patiently waiting on the line from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question about SpyBot.
Yes.
I installed the new updated version several weeks ago. And it seems to take forever to bring it up, almost a full minute.
From launching it till the program's available?
Yes. And then when you click the update, download the update, and then try to get rid of that screen, you wait another minute before that disappears. Do you know anything about that? It's happening on several other computers I put it on, too, for friends.
Because you're using, what, 1.5?
I'm not sure. It's the brand new version that has been updated.
Okay. I just instinctively mind. Have you also tried the super anti-spyware program that I suggested?
Yes, I have that also.
What is your operating system?
XP Professional.
I know it's very slow on 98, but I didn't.
Ginny, let me ask you one question. Since you've been, this is just for my own research too. Since you've been running the super anti-spyware, do you find that you find as much you know, if you run that first and then run AdWords SpyBot, that you don't find as much on those other two?
I don't find anything on SpyBot. And the new AdWords, I usually find one.
Yeah, which is typical with Windows. But usually if you run that super anti-spyware, it's finding most of it ahead of those other two programs?
Actually, I run that last, so I've not tried it your way. I run the AdWords and then
try,
the SpyBot.
Try, for the folks out there listening, try running the super anti-spyware first.
Okay.
And then do your AdWords and SpyBot. Just for tickles and grins, and over the next couple of weeks, I'd like to know from folks if they're finding as much. Because right now, like I say, the reason before we were recommending both AdWords and SpyBot is because they didn't get both the registry and the programs as well. That's why we were recommending two. Although with the super anti-spyware program, I'm finding that it does do a good research and discovery in both the registry, memory, and in programs. So that's why I'm asking folks to run that program first,
okay,
and then see if it finds as much leftover residue with AdWords and SpyBot after running Super Anti-Spyware.
And there then is, we can eliminate the SpyBot?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. This is actually, I just looked this up in their own forum. This is a known issue. There is a beta patch out for it, so as soon as they finish testing that patch, they'll be releasing an update.
Oh, good. To relieve the problem.
Yes.
Okay, great.
But yep. Try the other and let me know.
I will. I'll get back to you on that.
All right, I appreciate it. And anybody else out there, you know, like I say, it's just a little experiment. It's just helping you keep your machine clean.
I keep forgetting to add that to the Tango.
But, well, like you don't have other things to do.
Well, still, I should find the 3 minutes it'll take to do that. All right, our next caller is Bill from Honeyoy, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Let me tell you what I want to do. I'd like to be able to go into my bookmarks and have the highest on the list be the most used. Is there a way of doing that?
Usually you can go around in the bookmarks.
Browser are you using?
Well, I got Mozilla.
Firefox or
yeah,
Mozilla?
Firefox.
Okay.
Okay. And when I do the organized bookmarks, I can't find a way of making it happen.
Yeah, you can manually drag them anywhere you want them to go. There is no automatic method.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, you can open up and, you know, organize your to manage your bookmarks, and you can click on it and drag it up and down the list.
Oh,
put the one you want on top. If you tell it to automatically sort, it usually does it either ascending or descending alphabetically order,
but not by the most sites used.
All right, and the adjacent question: is there a way of adding or changing the box logo, whatever it is, that's on the left side to something that's recognizable?
What is the box on the left side?
Like for Doppler radar, I've got thing. For dog pile, I've got a thing. But some of these are just like a blank page.
Oh, that's the favicon. Nope. they call it the favicon. It's the
fave icon.
It's the fave icon, yeah. It's set by the other end. You can't change that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Favorite icon is short for.
Okay.
There are add-ons for Firefox.
Oh.
At addons.mozilla.org, you can find add-ons. One is called, not clip marks, hold on a second, give me a second. Speed Dial, direct access to your most visited websites. That's one that can be downloaded. What I suggest you do is browse the bookmark add-ons, and I suspect there's also Fast Style, but duplicate removers and things like that. I'm sure there's one in there that will let you organize them by most used, but I haven't looked through them all.
Oh, okay.
But there's stuff in there. There's also an extension that lets you pick your own fave icon.
Fave icon. So you can override the other end.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, yeah, you do it on your end. You pick whatever you want, and then when it goes to that website, no matter what they've got, you get your own.
Right.
So those things are all in there, and you should... Boy, you should be able to find all of them. There's also one called Morning Coffee, which keeps track of your daily routine websites and opens them in tabs.
Oh.
So there's a bunch out there. Take a look at them all, and you'll find an amazing amount of stuff.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and Merry Christmas.
And the same to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right. Our next caller, Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Greetings, folks.
Greetings.
Okay. I wanted to find out if my system's got enough poop to put Vista on it. I got a beefed up.
If you've got Vista on it, you've already got enough poop.
Well, yeah, I know, but I don't have that. I got XP Pro right now, and I want to upgrade.
Why?
I'm hearing really good things about how it deals with Flight Simulator 10.
That's about the only good reason I've heard to install
Vista. You have to be very careful about every other program you run and every peripheral you have attached, like printers and scanners and cameras. Great. Many of them may not work because the companies haven't got drivers updated yet.
And to go to Vista, you're going to need at least a 256 meg video card.
Got a 512.
You're going to need at least a half a gig of RAM. A gig is better.
I'd say 2 gig.
He's at four. He's got four.
He's golden.
How fast is your processor?
3 gigs.
Processor.
You could run it.
Will it run decently or will it?
No, it doesn't run decently on anything, but it'll run as fast as it runs on anything else. It'll run pretty fast.
The thing, like Steve was saying, though. Yes, it's probably going to run your flight simulator game very well, but other issues that you're going to have to contend with is, like you said, other devices and peripherals that you have on that machine that are working correctly right now with XP may not work on Vista.
That figures.
So, okay. I mean, since it's the holidays, you might want to just look at another machine to do your gaming then.
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time upgrading. I got an old HP workstation that I really beefed up. And it's really humming now.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But, I can't kill it. So, and I got one technical question for you.
Yeah.
Is it true that Howdy Doody had a fat brother named Heavy Doody?
Thank you for calling our friend Jim out of Syracuse. Jim, how's the snow out there? Apparently it's gotten up to your ears.
Actually, we didn't get whacked too bad. We only got about 4 to 6 inches. Now we're waiting for the lake effect to crank up.
Yeah, after that joke, you're going to get whacked by the first person who sees you.
Probably, yeah. I get a lot of dope sweats.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
Thanks for calling,
Jim. The good news is Jim's commuter will crash faster than anybody else's.
Yeah, right.
Didn't Microsoft have a Vista qualification program you could download and run?
Yeah, but with 4 gigs of RAM and a 3 gig processor and a half a gig of RAM.
I'm wondering what OS he's running now. Doesn't XP cap at 2 gigs?
Whether it caps or not, he's got 3 gigs of RAM.
I'd love to run Linux
on his machine. Wait, that is my machine at work, so I'm all good. Our next caller is Ray from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Good afternoon, fellas. I have a computer. I had an 80-gig drive on it, and a couple of days ago, it just simply stopped functioning, where when I boot it, it says found boot record on IDE 0, and then it sits there forever. So then I had an old hard drive, which I put XP on it, and then I put this 80-gig drive on as a slave, secondary drive, and it finds it in BIOS just fine. And then when I boot this new XP up, with this 80 gig on as a secondary, and I look at it, it says zero capacity, corrupted file system on this 80 gig drive. Is there any way to recover from that?
If you can get that drive into another machine and try doing a check disks /repair, that might do it. No guarantee. It all depends. I mean,
and make sure that you use check disk /repair. To the 80 gig drive, it's D or E or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's data you want to get off, you can try that. If you don't care about the data, you just reformat it.
I've often heard of people just simply putting XP back on a drive such as this without formatting, or do you have to format when you put XP back?
When the drive is corrupted, when you have a corrupted file system, you really, really need to format the drive before you put anything else on it. But as Dave said, if you try a repair, at the very least, you'll get access to your files, copy them off, and then reformat the drive.
Oh, I see.
You could also try a program like SpinWrite from Gibson Research, GRC.com. It basically does a sector refresh and can format a drive without formatting it. And that can oftentimes bring drives
back to life. Formats it on the fly without destroying any of the data. It is magic at GRC.com.
I did find the Windows Vista Upgrade Advisor if people want to download that to see.
So you got a link on there.
Yep.
We have no next caller for the moment because we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Wright, Chris Wright, Rob Linton, me and Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
The weather outside.
outside is frightful, but the fire
is so, so delightful.
Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites. And even without the rumbles, we're getting a little punchy in here. An iPhone owner who uses the alias Drunken Bass, or perhaps Drunken Bass, has hacked Apple's iconic smartphone, the iPhone, and managed to turn it into a video camcorder. On his website, Monsters and Friends, Drunken Bass says he isn't finished working on the unauthorized application. Right now, I can capture 2 megapixel quality at 10 frames per second for 10 seconds, he said. But when I lower the quality to normal phone size, I should be able to get higher frames per second and a minute of video at least. He also posted a beta of the application, which only records 5 seconds of video at 10 frames per second, and spelled out he was shooting for in a final. The final app will be able to record somewhere from 15 to 30 frames per second and should have an unlimited file length, limited, of course, only by the size of the hard drive in your iPhone. He said in a post on his site, standard television images are broadcast at 30 frames per second. The beta does not store the 5 second clip, but instead automatically deletes each one when the next one is shot. Like all third party iPhone applications, Drunken Bass's camcorder is unauthorized by Apple. That situation may change as early as February, assuming Apple makes good on the promise of CEO Steve Jobs and rolls out an iPhone software developer's kit by then. You can download the 36K beta, but you must register with the Monsters and Friends website. People want to hack the iPhone, and Apple apparently in February is going to let them, which means we'll get a whole lot of bricked iPhones, but oh well. Our next caller is Barry from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Barry. What's your question?
Hi. I'd like to ask a question about an application called Registry Booster.
Yeah?
And when you Google it, you'll find it comes up in a company called LI Utilities, spelled L-I. Utilities.com. I've used Firefox ever since I started listening to you, which was some number of years ago for my browser. And because of Firefox, I like these off the beaten path of Microsoft applications. Because of Firefox, I got an advertisement 4 years ago for something called that helps me keep my passwords in there.
Right.
Now, then it's worked just perfectly fine. It's called RoboForm.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Love now, it. I use it myself.
I love it. Now, RoboForm, I just upgraded. It needed an update this week. It needs one every couple weeks, and that's good. When I updated it, it said, hey, do you want to use Registry Booster? If you like RoboForm, you'll love Registry Booster. So I ran the free application of it, and it found 500 errors in my registry. I've used Registry Mechanic right along, and it cleans out all the errors. I ran Registry Mechanic, had no errors, ran the Registry Booster, 500 errors. It says, do you want to buy this for $29 and fix all those errors? Your opinion, guys.
Well, there is a product called Registry Booster. It's from a company called UniBlue.
That's correct. It's UniBlue. That's correct.
Everybody seems to love it. Download.com gave it 5 stars. Wugnet made it pick of the week. CNET loves it. Two Cows gave it 5 cows. PC World loves it. It'll fix the first 15 for free.
Yep,
it's just the danger
of
mucking in your registry.
But I wanted the expert's opinion, you guys, because everything you said is that's right there on their page. What do you think?
It certainly is a legitimate product. Everybody that I've looked at loves it, including the Windows Fanatic hot site, the Windows Fanatic guys at Locker Gnome. They seem to love it. I have a lot of trouble
playing around
in the registry.
I myself do not play around in the registry, but I let these applications that I pay my $29.
Well, that's almost worse than you playing around with it because you have no idea what it's doing.
If you back up the registry first and you use it, the hope is it won't kill your machine enough that you can't reboot and put the old registry back. It's a crapshoot. You pay your money and you take your chance. I wouldn't. You might want to. Got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Wright, Chris Wright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 49 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Inouye.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 53 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. Rob, did you? Don't tell me you ran out of Christmas music.
No, I'm taking calls to people thinking Hannah Montana's canceled today.
I don't think they would cancel.
Oh, they won't cancel Hannah Montana.
In their hands. I don't think it would happen.
Unbelievable.
I didn't even know Hannah Montana was in town.
Oh, Hannah Montana is in town. There's people coming in from Georgia. There's people coming in from Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Don't tell my son. He wants to go see Elvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, I was there yesterday.
Well, if you didn't buy your Hannah Montana ticket like in March, you didn't get one.
Well, no, here's the thing. They opened tickets back up recently, which ticked a lot of people off. People that had paid hundreds, if not $1,000 for these tickets, but then they opened up more tickets and sold them again at regular ticket price. It's just been a disaster.
There's a whole string of buses lined up in the bridge behind the War Memorial, all for her, this 14-year-old
You know
lady.
What's funny is in a couple of years when she grows up, nobody will know who she is.
Yeah.
I mean,
she'll use her real name again.
I'm sorry, I don't
know.
Well,
she's Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter.
Right? Miley Cyrus, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard her sing. I've seen her show.
Well, Hannah Montana is the character she plays on TV.
She's clearly a fairly manufactured process. There's no question.
My son's 9 and he watches her. Am I in trouble?
Yeah, probably. One way or the other. Either he's precocious or else. I don't know what. All right. Before we go on, the December 20th meeting of the Lugor Group will be a presentation of Sousa, an open Sousa by Ross Brunson of Novell. Theoretically, it's in Building 70 on the RIT campus. Room 1400 from 7 to 9 o'clock. They don't actually say that, but that's usually where they are. Anybody listening from Lugor, seriously, I think you need a little more. Well, there is a meeting info for December 20th there. That's down farther. All right, that's all right. All right.
And you're speaking this week, right?
I am speaking this week to the Society for Technical Communication. Luckily, I'm not doing that until after the snow stops. I don't care what they think. That's going to be fun. I've known 100 people on the STs. They're all pretty much dead now, the people I knew. But
Flower, did you know her real name is? Destiny Hope Cyrus.
Yeah, that's why they call her Miley. If my name was Destiny Hope, I'd want to be Miley, too. Well, that was... There we go. Playing the... Is this a Christmas song? You can tell the world
you never was my girl. Yeah, not to play her dad. Play her.
He'll find one eventually, but we're going to go back... Next caller is Keith, sitting around on a cell phone wondering why he's listening to Billy Ray Cyrus. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
I almost hung up because I thought the show was over.
I almost stopped taking calls because I thought the show was over. What's your question?
Real fast. I got a friend who's really computer illiterate. I'm just slightly smarter than him. And he would run his computer and all of a sudden it would crash and he would get this message saying that the hard drive, it listed the name of the hard drive, has a mechanical problem. And
Buy a new hard drive quick or back up that hard drive quick. Yeah.
Really, now when we go to he says he gets messages that he's got two hard drives and one is full, and I believe it's his main hard drive just has a section on it, because the numbers when I go to properties of the C drive and the D drive, the number that identifies it is the same. So is it an assumption that it's just a C drive with a separate section that's being
That's
labeled?
Very likely. In any case, you want to back up all of his data immediately.
All right, that's what I told him. So he's been up.
Yeah.
Because it will run and then all of a sudden it will crash.
Yeah, back up everything, the data, not the programs. Back up the data. Yesterday. That's the important stuff. And then buy a new hard drive and put all those data back on.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Sure. Our next caller is Tom from Greece, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Good morning. I have a quick question. Whenever I start up my computer, it goes into startup mode, and then it starts loading programs, and then it just stops and reboots. I tried the safe mode, same symptoms. I went to the debugging mode, and when it rebooted, a screen popped up, and it said stop a bunch of codes. Then it said vetfiles.sys address, da-da-da. I looked that up, and it was a computer associate file, which I'm wondering if that file is corrupt. And so as I go into startup mode, I hit that file and then it reboots.
It's netfiles.sys?
Yeah, vetefile.sys, yeah.
That is not something I'm sure that I believe you can fix on your own. You're going to have to take that to somebody because they've got to be able to get into the machine. You're going to have to, I hate to say it, but you're going to have to take it to somebody. They're going to have to pull the hard drive and deal with it offline. Sorry. We're done. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, who did, a magnificent job putting together our podcast every single week. He donates his time to do that. He's crazy, but we're taking advantage of him as much as humanly possible. I want to thank Rob Linton, who's even crazier and who we take advantage of in other ways every week. And if we can get his nose out of the...
that's disgusting.
Song system. Thank you. Well, it's just the way it is. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 58 minutes after the hour. We want to thank each and every one of you called in. Sorry we didn't get to all your calls. See you next week on 1180 WHAM.